You are now listening to the Legends Lingo Podcast. Here are your hosts, Al, Powder, and Maddie D.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Legends Lingo Podcast, episode 267, as always, presented by StudentUnionSports.com. Make sure to check out everything on StudentUnionSports.com, from the daily blogs to the podcasts and everything else in between. Al Mahigian here, Tom Powder Cadmus here, Maddie Burnett here. Guys, first and foremost, happy Thursday to you all. Are we excited for the end of the week?
I mean, this weekend starts the craziness of my careers, like of my job. So it's about to get crazy.
So yeah, you're gone on weekends from April till about mid-September. We got it. We get that. We got you.
Yep.
Maddie, how are you doing? The beard is actually, you know what? I'll give you a compliment. The beard actually looks good today.
Oh, thank you. It's a good beard day, I guess. I've been hanging out by a fire all day, so maybe it did something. But you know, it's my Wednesday today, so I love the work week. I have two more days till I'm off.
So, any pilgrim news that you need to share with us?
No. Other than it's raining. It's really raining.
I mean, it snowed up where I am, so
yeah, a little bit of snow. It is crazy.
True. I saw the North Shore got snow today.
Oh, yeah. I know. At least we're not Maine. They got snow.
Oh, they got shredded, didn't they?
Is it crazy that April is supposed to bring showers, but it's just bringing snowstorms?
April showers bring Mayflowers.
Yeah, that's a joke at this point. It's like, give me a break. We're lucky if we get May showers at this point. But anyways, I digress. All right, we have a decent amount to talk about tonight. Red Sox starting the season off hot. Celtics are nearing their playoff quest. The Patriots have two of the three big quarterbacks are going to be visiting this weekend. Let's start off with the Red Sox, though. Two series in the books. They are 5-2 on the season, second place in the AL East. They split a season-opening series with the Seattle Mariners, winning the first and last games of the series, and then they just swept the Oakland A's to get to 5-2. So first things first, I just want to kick this conversation off with this question. Are we happy with the 5-2? And I know that's going to sound a little far-fetched. Like, of course we should be happy. But are we happy because we think this Red Sox team is actually going to surprise us this year? Or are we happy because, okay, they played a Seattle team that's very underwhelming. The A's suck. Let's just call it this. The A's are brutal. So do we think that this team's actually going to be something, or is it kind of just like fool's gold? Like, they had a good week. Let's wait till May for this. So I'll open up the floor to Powder and then to Maddie, and then we'll kind of circle back. But Powder, thoughts on the Red Sox 5-2 start?
I mean, what I'm excited about with the Red Sox is the pitching staff has looked a lot better than what we thought it would. We thought the offense would do its thing. They would score runs, but the pitching would not hold up and we'd lose games like 9-8 consistently or have a lot of shootouts where it's high scoring, and that's actually not been the case. In the against Oakland, which, like you said, Oakland's not the biggest test, but they only let up 4 runs in that series, and that was in one game. They threw 2 shutouts in that game, in that series. And then against Seattle, they won 4-1. Or no, sorry, wrong game. Won 6-4, lost 1-0, lost 4-3, and won 5-1. So really no high-scoring game so far from the pitching staff, which is very promising in my opinion. Seattle, they're not the greatest team, but they do have a decent offense, and the Red Sox held them at bay. The starters looked really good. I think it's promising to see what Andrew Bailey's doing, and obviously it's early. We'll see when it comes time once they play the Orioles. They're at the Angels starting Friday through Sunday, so weekend series at the Angels, and then they come home for their home opener against the Orioles. I want to see how their pitching staff looks in this Orioles series, see how it really stacks up, because everybody knows Orioles are the team to be in the AL East, and then we'll see how it goes from there. But I am happy and excited to see how the pitching staff has done so far.
Okay. I do have a thought about the starting pitching in a second, but Maddie, anything you want to add or anything new that you want to add to what was said?
I mean, straight up, what's crazy to say, Red Sox could be 7-0 right now, which is absolutely crazy to say, I think. They should have been they should have swept Seattle. They came out pretty good in the first two series. What I was looking for, just to get the first couple of series out of the way this year, is I was looking to see is Bayo going to be the ace of the future? He looked like it so far. After Bayo, can Pivetta back up Bayo if Bayo's having a bad night and the following night Pivetta's going, or can Pivetta follow up a good night that Bayo's having with a good night of his own? Yes, he can. He proved that again. And it's like, after that, it's like, oh God, like that's where I think the rotation for me gets a little hairy. But I liked what I saw at Cutter Crawford. I liked that a lot. I thought he looked good for the most part. You can't get mad at him for that. Hitting, I mean, offense wise, I mean, Tyler O'Neill continuing his opening day streak. Love to see it. I like what I'm seeing out of Casas. It's like, I like what I see so far. There's really not a lot to complain about, but I'm sure Al, the master of complaining, will find something. As he smiles, because he knows I'm right. I like what I see so far. Like Powder said, okay, it's not much of an accomplishment to beat the Oakland A's. I mean, for Christ's sake, we can't even call them the Oakland A's after this year. Going up against the Angels, who, you know, post Shohei Ohtani. That's what I call him now. Because he just doesn't want to admit it. The Angels are like, let's see what they're like. They're 4-2 to start the year, but you know, we're 5-2. We're supposed to be a bad team. The Angels are supposed to be a bad team. They're 4-2. So when two bad teams get together, see what happens. I'm excited for next week. See what they can do with the Orioles. So that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm already looking past this weekend series with the Angels. I'm looking at that Orioles season opener or home opener.
So you guys both mentioned the starting pitching, and it deserves its praise, right? You take a look at the first time through the rotation, I think they only had one walk combined for their starts, and they went like 28 innings between all five starters. So they all were going 5 or 6 innings, which is really good for the first start of the season. The one thing that concerns me a little bit, Andrew Bailey's philosophy. And this is something that I learned, which I'll give a shout-out. Shout-out to the Section 10 podcast. Again, I gave them their praise a couple weeks ago for coming back with Carrabas and all them, but basically, last year with the Giants threw one of the least amount of fastballs overall as an organization, as a team in the MLB. So one of the teams that threw the least amount of fastballs. And that is obviously translated into the Red Sox, because the Red Sox so far are last in the major leagues in fastballs thrown by their pitchers. So I guess my question to you guys is, and Powder, I want to hear from you first, because I know you're a baseball coach like I am. Do you think that this model of throwing consistently off-speed more than anything in sinkers will lead to long-term success for the Red Sox? Because I'm a little skeptical of it, because especially for a guy like Tanner Houck and for Brian Bayo, guys that depend on their sliders, not as much Garrett Whitlock, because Whitlock relies on his changeup more, but even still with the past injuries and everything. But anyways, do you think that it could cause some problems down the line, especially with a starting rotation that can't really have any injuries right now, because there's really no depth for them to go to, especially in AAA. They don't have really any depth to rely on if one of these guys do get hurt. So just overall thoughts on the new pitching philosophy from Andrew Bailey.
I mean, like, obviously it's scary, because if this was team who, like you said, had deep pitching, it wouldn't concern you as much, but them not having deep pitching does concern me a little bit. But I think I trust in Andrew Bailey from seeing what he did with, I'm not just doing it because he's the Red Sox pitching coach, but seeing how the Giants had success the past couple of years with their pitching staff, I think he understands what he's doing, and I think I'm going to wait and see what happens, but I trust him in all honesty. I think he has a proven track record, so I'm going to trust him until it fails.
A ride or die guy. I like that. Maddie?
I agree with Bowder. I trust Bailey. Again, only 7 games into the season. It's like he'll make adjustments as needed as the season goes on. I trust him.
Okay. So you guys are in the trust tree. I'm going to follow Powder's model. Actually, it's both your guys' model. So I'm going to follow both you guys until it fails. And it fails miserably. It's like, okay, this looks like it's pretty good. It's something that's sustainable. So let's keep it going. One thing that's really struggled a little bit, though, I would say, for the Red Sox has been their offense. And one guy that I don't understand why people still want to believe in him and still think he's going to be good is Bobby Dalbec. Why do people think that he is still going to be a capable Major League Baseball player? He had one good stretch in 2021 for the second half of the season, keep in mind. And now people think that he's going to be a capable everyday MLB player or even a capable bench guy? No. He still strikes out with runners in scoring position. He still doesn't put the ball in play in big situations. He had 8 strikeouts in the entire A's series. So why are we continuing to praise this guy and think he's going to step out of it? And as much as I love them, and I just mentioned them, I'm going to call them out, the Section 10 podcast guys. It's like, no Bobby Dalbec slander. Why? When he deserves the slander, give him the slander. And if he has a good series, then give him the praise. But right now, Bobby Dalbec is a guy that I just still don't understand why he's on this roster and why you still insist on trying to get him at bats and trying to get him going. Because let's just face it, he's never going to get it going. He's not a good MLB player. You need to move on from him. I don't know if you guys had any thoughts on Bobby Dalbec, but or any of the other Red Sox guys that I didn't mention, but that was just something that I need to get off my chest because it had been bugging me all day, and I can't stand people that still vouch for Bobby Dalbec anymore. So that's just me. Powder, Maddie, anything you guys want to add?
Maddie, you got anything?
I like Bobby Dalbec because it's fun to say his name. Guy's a crap player. Like, he has his moments where it's like, damn, he's good, but like, he's a great Triple-A player, a horrible Major League player.
Mm-hmm. No,
he's one of those.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's always going to look great whenever they send him down to Triple-A, to Worcester. I think he's going to hit the cover off the ball all year long down in Worcester. But I just think when it comes to Major League pitching, even though there is a difference, but it's not huge, I think. But still, he just isn't going to succeed at the Major League level. I think it's time to find a trade for him or DFA him or something.
I think DFA is going to be the move because I don't know if you can get any value for Bobby Dalbec right now. That's the crazy part. I don't think you're going to get anything for him. I mean, he's what? Let's just see how old Bobby Dalbec is, shall we? Bobby Dalbec, you do a quick Google search. Bobby Dalbec is 28 years old, turning 29 in June. So he's getting too old for AAA. Like, what team, unless you're like a Nationals or I'm trying to think of some really crazy team, like an Athletics or something like that. Like, unless you have a team like that could use a corner guy that has a little bit of pop in his bat, you're not going to get anything for him. So honestly, Powder, DFAing him might be the best idea.
Yeah.
So I don't know what else you could do with him. That's the sad part. But if you guys don't have anything else, we can just take a look at the next couple of series if you want.
Jeez, he is over 6 with 5 strikeouts on the year.
Okay, so I was over-exaggerating a little bit, but still, 0-6 with 5 strikeouts, striking out 83% of the time. Like, you cannot be doing that at the Major League level. I don't care how many at-bats you get. I don't care what the situation is. You got to put the ball in play. Give yourself a chance to get on base. But anyways, so the Red Sox, for the next about week or so, they have a 3-game series in Anaheim against the Angels to round up their season-opening West Coast trip. Then they are home for 3 against the Baltimore Orioles Tuesday through Thursday, and then Friday through Sunday for the weekend series. The Angels come to Fenway. So quick predictions for the series. I say that they are going to win 2 out of 3 against the Angels. They are going to lose 2 out of 3 to the Orioles, and then they're going to sweep the Angels in Fenway. So I have them for this total stretch going, let's see, 2-1, 1-2. I have them going 6-3 in these next 9 games. What do you guys have?
5-4. I think they're going to do 2-1, like you said, win 2 of 3 against the Orioles or Angels. Lose 2 of 3 against the Orioles and win 2 of 3 again against the Angels.
I'm going to go bold, sweep the Angels both times, lose 2 of 3 to the Orioles.
Ooh, wow, a little 7-2 action from Maddie?
Yeah, a little. Let's see how wrong I am.
It's okay, bud. Listen.
Sorry, the Angels suck. Other than Trout, I can't name anybody. And Rendon, I can't even name anybody on that team.
And Rendon doesn't even want to play that many games, so he might not even play.
He might just go to Boston and be like, oh, I'll go with you guys. I don't want to play, but I'll go with you guys. Manuel Hall looks like fun.
Oh, boy. Anything else?
I want to go to a team that actually wins a lot.
Anything else Red Sox related you guys want to talk about before we move on?
R.I.P. Larry Lucchino.
Yep.
Yeah, we got to talk about that.
R.I.P. legend Larry. Larry legend.
So Larry Lucchino, long time Red Sox president, everything else, passed away at the age of 78, I believe it was. 78 or 79, right in that ballpark, no pun intended. Larry Lucchino, the thing that I loved about Larry Lucchino was he wasn't afraid to make big moves. He wasn't afraid to compete with the Yankees, and he wanted to win. That's all you can ask for in an owner, having a burning desire to win championships. And that's what he did. He won 3 of them in his time, 04, 07, and 13, before he stepped down in 15. So you can't ask for much more than that. A dire part of the Red Sox history, especially in the early to mid-2000s and the mid-2010s. True Red Sox icon. He's going to live on in Red Sox fans' hearts forever. So RIP, Larry Lucchino. If you guys want to throw anything out there, obviously feel free.
Yes, thank you for helping the Red Sox win multiple World Series in your tenure.
I'm looking at the guy's resume right now because I knew about the Red Sox stuff. Didn't realize he's a Super Bowl champion as an executive as well. So that's he's a proven winner. You win. You're a 4-time World Series champion as an executive. You're a Super Bowl champion as an executive. You're in the Red Sox Hall of Fame and you're in the Padres Hall of Fame. I mean, hell, how more successful could you be? What a career! What a life! What a guy!
What a career, what a life, what a man. All right, we're going to move on. Anything else Red Sox related that you want to talk about?
We good. I think we good.
Good. All right, let's talk Celtics just a little bit. But before we talk Celtics, some quick breaking news. Boston Bruins, for Brad Marchand, has scored his 400th career NHL goal on Thursday night against the Carolina Hurricanes. So just congratulations to Brad Marchand real quick. So good for you, Marshy. As Matty falls asleep because his team just can't beat the Bruins. He's just very sad. He's going to have nightmares about that. So shout out to Marchand. Shout out to the Rat. 400 career NHL goals. Good for you. All right, Celtics time. You awake, Matty?
Yeah, I'm good now. Now that we're talking about like a team that actually matters. All right.
Hey, man, listen. The New England Revolution matter, okay?
They do. No, they do. They matter more than the crappy hockey team in Boston, yeah.
They do. Yeah. All right. Celtics, real quick. This is just something that crossed my mind. So the Celtics right now, as we record, they have 6 games left in the regular season. They're 60-16. They've already clinched the best record in the NBA, obviously clinched the East. They have everything going their way. Best road record, best home record, best offense, best overall net rating, best everything pretty much. The 4 teams that we talked about a couple weeks ago, I think that might have changed a little bit, but right now, if the season ended today and didn't end next week and we had the play-in tournament, the first round would be the 7-seed Miami Heat against the 8-seed Philadelphia 76ers, then the 9-seed Chicago Bulls taking on the 10-seed Atlanta Hawks. Some things have changed since then. The Celtics played the Hawks twice in Atlanta. Atlanta took both games, one being from a 30-point deficit to beating the Celtics in Atlanta, and then 3 nights later, beating the Celtics by 1 in overtime. So here's my question. Has anything changed in regards to who you want the Celtics to play in the first round of the NBA playoffs? I still think their best matchup, as far as if they want a quick series, is Chicago. Because Chicago is horrible defensively. I think Atlanta gives them problems. But it's weird. When Trae Young plays, Celtics are fine. But when Trae Young's off the court and DeJounte Murray's the guy, like, Atlanta just plays better. I don't know why. Philadelphia got a big jolt with Joel Embiid coming back, but who knows how, you know, how good he's going to be. He's probably going to be rusty going into the end of the regular season, into the playoffs. And then, obviously, the boogeyman, that is the Miami Heat, in that seven spot. But if they beat the 76ers, then they'll play Milwaukee in the first round, just like they did last year. So I don't know. Do you guys have a preference for who they play in round one, or is it more like whoever they play, they should just beat easily anyway?
Matt, do you want to go?
I mean, here's the thing. When you're in the playoffs, no matter what league you're in, NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, when you're in the playoffs, you shouldn't be beating anyone easily, no matter who you are. You got there for a reason. If you're the one seed, or if you're the goddamn 64th seed in the NCAA tournament, you got there for a reason. With that being said, though, you look at the Celtics team this year, 60-16. Who the hell is going to stop this team? There's a few teams that might. One of them is naturally going to be Miami. So I'm now going to change my answer from the last time you asked this, Al, where I said Chicago, they should be playing round one. Screw that. Give me Miami round one. Get them out of the way now. Don't let them get hot and come play you. Keep them, play them round one. Keep them controlled. Keep them contained. Just, I'd rather be tested all throughout the playoffs rather than cakewalk to the finals where you'll have someone like Denver, like Minnesota, like Oklahoma City. Hell, even like the Clippers, they could be standing there and it's just like, all right, that's a challenge right there. Even though the Celtics just beat the Thunder by 35, but still. Give me Miami round one. Give me them.
All right, so Maddie's a big Miami guy, Powder. Are you with him?
Obviously, I like Maddie's philosophy with not letting the Heat get hot in the playoffs.
Oh, thanks, Powder.
But I rather see them, the Heat lose to someone else. I rather, like you said, Al, see Chicago. Someone who's going to be a little bit easier of a series that first round, kind of get your feet under you in the playoffs, let the Celtics get hot in the playoffs, and then after that, I don't think it matters who the Celtics play. Just get used to the more pressure-packed against a team that's not as good. But I do like the theory of seeing a better team in the first round, because then you're not getting a cakewalk that first round, and you're actually prepared for when you face a Miami or Milwaukee or even Cleveland, someone like that can give you run for your money.
So I'm going to say this. Okay, I'm going to put it to you guys like this. If I had a choice as far as the order from who I want to play the most to who I want to play the least, I want the Bulls the most because I just think the Celtics have such a competitive mismatch over them. Then Philadelphia, because Philadelphia is a team that the Celtics have taken care of and will continue to take care of because they know how to beat Philly. Then I have Miami, and then I have Atlanta. Atlanta right now, there's something about when Trae Young's out and DeJounte Murray's the guy, that they just play better defensively. They're longer. They play better defense. Atlanta's a tough team, man. And they last year, if I don't know if you guys remember, or it was either last year or the year before, they brought the Celtics to six games in the first round in the playoffs. So I don't necessarily want that happening again. But here's the thing. If and when, and I'm going to put an emphasis on when the Celtics get out of that first round, you take a look at the rest of the teams that are there. So right now, you have Milwaukee, who's older and slower, and the Celtics have proven that they can beat pretty much no problem. Cleveland, Cleveland's a little bit of a threat. Orlando, the Celtics have had troubles with in the past, but the Celtics have taken care of them this year. The Knicks just lost Julius Randle for the year. So there's a team that I'm not worried about, even with like OG Anunoby and those guys. And then like Miami and Indiana are battling for the 6 and 7 seed. Sure, Indiana, you know, they play with a lot of pace. They like to get up and down the floor. Like, I get that. But I'm not worried about them either. there's no team after the first round that I really am worried about that it's like, oh, shoot, this team might be better than the Celtics. None of these teams are better than the Celtics. The only team that can beat the Celtics are the Celtics. Mm-hmm. So that first round, you better take care of business. You better not mess around. Because if you can get a sweep or win in five at the most, then you get rested and you go on. Especially a guy that could use some rest, and I just want to talk about real quick, Jaylen Brown. So apparently he has like a ligament, something going on with his ligament in his left hand. And you see it when he's dribbling, like he's having trouble dribbling with the left hand, which has always been a problem for him. Do you guys have any concern about Jaylen Brown going into the playoffs? I do a little bit, because they usually say the teams that win championships are the most healthy. And if you're number two guy, who a lot of nights can be your number one guy, is struggling to dribble, then you got a little bit of a problem. And you're going to need him, especially for the playoffs. Yeah. Any concerns about Jaylen Brown, Powder, Maddie?
Well, I say just shut him down for the regular season. No point in playing him anymore. You've locked up literally everything. No point in playing him. Get him rehabbing. Do what you need to do. There's no point in having him out there for the rest of the regular season. Get him ready for the playoffs.
I agree with Maddie. That's a great point. Now that you have the best record in the NBA, like, there's nothing else. You're not going for history. Like, you're not trying to break the Warriors record from a couple of years ago. Like, at this point, just rest him. He's very tuned and ready for the playoffs, even if he misses the last, five games or so?
So, just looking at the end of the Celtics, end of their regular season schedule, they play Friday night against the Sacramento Kings. They should win that game. I mean, they always take care of the West Coast teams. They always play really well against Sacramento. They're home on Sunday against the Trailblazers. That's an easy game. Welcome back, Rob Williams and Malcolm Brogdon, for that game.
Even though Rob Williams ain't playing.
Yeah, exactly. Malcolm Brogdon, too, probably. Celtics are at the Bucks next Tuesday night. That's going to be a game that neither of them really care about. Thursday night, they're home against the Knicks. Friday night, they're home against the Hornets. And then Sunday, April 14th, the Wizards are coming to Boston for the regular season finale.
Woo.
Sure, you probably see Jaylen Brown in any of those games.
You shouldn't. I mean, realistically, at this point in the season, you probably have two games that are semi-competitive. Like, the Bucks game will be competitive. And I'll throw in the Kings game. Because the Knicks and Celtics aren't really going to play for anything. The Hornets and Wizards suck. The Trailblazers suck. So, yeah, sit Jaylen Brown for the last six games of the season. Give him 2 weeks off to just rest his hand. He can still do conditioning. Like, obviously, keep him conditioned, keep him running and everything. But don't have him shoot a basketball. Don't have him dribble a basketball. If he's going to do anything, just do it all right-handed. And don't even have him do anything with his left hand. Nothing. So, that's where I'm at with Jaylen Brown. Hopefully the Celtics will cruise into the playoffs and give us less heart attacks than they have the past couple seasons, but we know that's not going to happen because it's the Celtics. They're going to be bound to give us some heart attacks. Anything else in the Celtics, guys, before we move into a little bit of football before we wrap up?
No.
All right. Before we get into a little NFL football Patriots talk with Maddie B, Powder, you need to give us the word from our good friends at A&B Burgers and A&B Kitchen and Bar.
Yep.
One of these days, Al, Maddie, and I will get together at A&B Kitchen and Bar, but before that happens, I'll give you a quick rundown on them. As I say every week, Legends Lingo is graciously sponsored by A&B Kitchen Bar and A&B Burgers. A&B Kitchen and Bar is located in Boston, Massachusetts, right across the street from the TD Garden, where A&B Burgers is located in Beverly, Massachusetts, on the North Shore of Mass. Whether you're looking for a burger, meatloaf, fish and chips, pasta, whatever, even pizza now, whatever you want, A&B Kitchen and Bar and A&B Burgers is a place to go. With the Celtics and Bruins getting ready for their playoff runs, get right in the atmosphere at A&B Kitchen and Bar. Be right there with the crowds before the game. Don't have tickets during the game. Just hang out at A&B Kitchen Bar, have some drinks, and watch the games on one of those huge TVs they have all across the restaurant. with crazy Boston fans. And if you want just a nice casual meal, head up to North Shore at A&B Burgers. And whichever restaurant you go to, make sure you tell them the Legends Lingo Boys sent you.
Shout out to A&B Kitchen Bar, A&B Burgers. Maddie, you're gross.
I didn't do anything. I was just sitting here the entire time.
You're so gross. You're disgusting.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Do we need to air off the group chat?
No, we don't.
Okay. So you
we don't do that.
Okay, we don't do that here. All right. Let's move on.
That's Legend Lingo's after hours. That's the, yeah.
All right, Maddie, you got a couple of discussion points, so why don't you go ahead and
just a little tidbits this week. We are three weeks out from when we're recording today, Thursday. 3 weeks away from the NFL draft, first round beginning. Gentlemen, this could be the longest 3 weeks ever because it's going to be some new shit every day. It's going to be like, oh, Jaden Daniels picked his nose. That must mean he wants to go to the Jets or some BS like that, you know. It's like, here we go, basically. Teams are definitely finalizing the draft boards by now. The Patriots certainly are one of those teams with the third overall pick. They have tomorrow, Friday, they got Drake May, quarterback from North Carolina. He's coming in. He's going to be in Foxborough tomorrow. So if you want to go potentially, you know, the only 0.1% chance you bump into him, tomorrow's your chance. And then on Monday next week, we got Jaden Daniels coming from LSU. One of them's going to be a Patriot. We don't know which one yet. One of them's going to be a Patriot. Is it going to be May? Is it going to be Daniels? We won't know for another 3 weeks. What we do know, though, is one of the Patriots' division rivals are going to look a lot different next season. This trade came out of nowhere yesterday. I personally didn't see it coming. I don't think anyone really did. The Buffalo Bills have traded Stephon Diggs, and I'm pulling up the trade right now. I think it's a fifth and a sixth round pick to the Houston Texans for a second round pick in next year's draft. Oh God, where do we even begin with this? How about just some basic reaction? So I want to hear from, let's go with Powder first. I don't care about Al. Let's go to Powder first. Al, you look even, no. Powder, what do we think about Houston's new problem in Stephon Diggs, or maybe lack of?
I mean, it definitely shocked me when all of a sudden I look on Instagram or Twitter, wherever I saw it, and saw that Stephon Diggs was being traded. I was like, I did not think that would be something I saw, because obviously the Bills are very close. They're right on the edge of being one of the top. They are a top team in the AFC, and they legitimately have a chance to be so bowl contender if they didn't choke every year in the playoffs. But the Texans, just they're going at it now. They have their quarterback of the future, and they definitely want to try and find a way to win. I was surprised at what the Bills got back. I thought a trade like that, they would get more. But you know what? They must have wanted him to get off. Maybe he was unhappy and we just didn't hear it in the media. But, I mean, good luck to whoever has to play the Texans. They're going to be really good next year.
Mm-hmm. All right, Alejandro, what do we got?
So, I mean, I'm with you, Maddie. This trade came out of nowhere. I literally saw it and I literally let out an audible, whoa, when I saw it. Like, I could not believe it. Mm-hmm. And the weird part is, you take a look at that contract. Did you see what they said today as far as the...
Oh, I saw. So it's like, oh, shit. Like, Houston's really going to get, like, a player now.
Yeah, so for anybody that doesn't know, basically what Houston did is they axed off the last 3 years of Stephon Diggs' deal, and he can be a free agent after the 2024 season. Go wherever he wants. I kind of like that move because, honestly, now Houston's going to get a very motivated Stephon Diggs. By the way, shout out to Dave Casario. Nick Casario, sorry. I'm all over the place. It's Thursday. I can't remember names, dates, anything. Nick Casario. Shout out to Nick Casario because He is doing what a good GM should do. Build around a quarterback that's proven on a rookie deal in CJ Stroud and just give him all the weapons that he can. Doing it all offseason. He did it again with Stephon Diggs. The time is now for the Houston Texans, and that's crazy to think about that we're saying that in 2024. Mm-hmm. Like, think about where this team was even 5-6 years ago. They were nowhere close. So, shout out to the Texans for making this move, and the Patriots, I mean, do they even have, like, any leg to stand on at this point? Like, if you want to go out and get T. Higgins this offseason and sign him to a long-term extension, you should go do it. But it depends on how aggressive you want to be. Or do you wait for this offseason and try to go get Stephon Diggs? Because remember, when Stephon Diggs got traded from Minnesota, who were the two teams involved the most? The Buffalo Bills and your New England Patriots. The Patriots had interest in Stephon Diggs at one point. You don't think they'd want to have a little bit of interest in him again, especially if they can get him at their price? I don't know. But I think this definitely changes some things, like Maddie said, and it makes things a lot more interesting, especially 3 weeks away from the draft.
I mean, my reaction was, I saw our good friend Diego Galvez text the trashy jelly donut group chat. Houston's going to be like a lot better. And I'm like, okay, Houston just made a big move for somebody. As I'm trying to hide my phone from the public so we don't know that pilgrims have phones in our pockets at work, I'm like trying to see like quickly, okay, who did Houston trade for? I saw it was Stephon Diggs. I did the same thing. I was like, whoa, wow, where'd that come from? And here I am thinking, all right, they definitely just gave up a first-round pick to Buffalo for this, too. And then I saw what the heck the trade was for. It's like, man, what the hell is this? Like, the highway robbery. There was a highway robbery yesterday in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I like the move a lot. I like the move for what Houston did with axing the last couple of years of his deal. I just saw who were free agents next year. Wide receiver wise, and Diggs clears all of them, even at his age. He's clearing all of them next year. Just to give you a small preview of what's to come next offseason. You got T. Higgins again. You got Keenan Allen, Chris Godwin, Amari Cooper, Brandon Cooks, Deontay Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins, Mike Williams, Zay Jones. And then the first club option on this list I'm seeing is Ja'Marr Chase. So, Diggs is better than all of them. So he's going to be probably the star free agent next offseason. Should the Patriots go after him? Absolutely. Absolutely. Even if they draft their future number one receiver, why not just go get someone else for whoever your quarterback's going to be?
Mm-hmm.
Why not load them up? Look what Houston just did. You have a second-year quarterback in C.J. Stroud. You just gave him Stephon Diggs. He has Tank Dell. He has Nico Collins. By the way, his running back, by the way, is Joe Mixon. That offense got way better. Not even to mention the defensive side of the ball. Texas is going to be great next year, but how it affects the Patriots, it's... All right. Al, Powder, can each of you name me two wide receivers on the Bills now that Stephon Diggs is gone?
I can name one right off the cuff.
Yeah, Gabe Davis.
Nope, he's gone too.
He's got it.
The one that comes to mind is Curtis Samuel, because didn't they sign him this offseason?
Exactly.
And then the other one, he's got a funky last name. Kazur or something. I don't know how to, I forget the guy's name. I think he has a funky last name.
Oh, Khalil Shakir.
Thank you, Khalil Shakir. That I couldn't think of his last name exactly, but I knew that he was on the roster. But otherwise, there's nobody else. I mean, they traded Diggs. Davis left in free agency to go to Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. So, like, who there?
Let me tell you. Who's here? Let me tell you who's in Buffalo, Al and Powder. Both of you are going to be like, oh, my God, when you think about the Patriots secondary. Got Khalil Shakir, Curtis Samuel, Mac Collins. That's the projected, like, the big three for Buffalo. Then you got Justin Shorter. Who?
Mm-hmm.
Andy Isabella, former UMass.
Oh, I remember Andy Isabella.
KJ Hamler, the one-time Denver Bronco quarterback.
Oh,
exactly. Then you got Tyrell Shavers. Oh. Brian Thompson. Oh. Now let's think about the Patriots secondary going up against that and smile. Because you got Gonzalez coming back from injury. You got Jonathan Jones who's going to be great. You got, let's see. Help me out here, Al.
Who else?
They're probably going to draft a cornerback or a safety. They're going to do it.
Probably.
I'm blanking on names now. Listen,
the point is.
Jabril Peppers. That's, you know. The point I'm making is the Patriots always have been giving the Bills a hard... They gave the Bills a hard time last year. That was with Diggs. Now they don't have Diggs. Josh Allen is a cornerback... Is it not a quarterback? A interception machine.
Mm-hmm.
Without Diggs, bailing him out on some throws here? Yep. It's... I think the Bills took a giant step back with this trade, despite them most likely picking a receiver in the draft. They still took a giant step back, I think, with this trade.
Would you say that their Super Bowl window is closed?
Yes. I still think Josh Allen is going to be a good quarterback, but I think their championship window is completely closed.
Okay. So, yeah, I think that I agree. I think their window's done. I think they had, 3 to 4 years to do it. They didn't do it, and now they realize they're going to have to kind of rebuild on the fly a little bit here. So... It's going to be fun to play Buffalo again this year, considering the Patriots actually beat Buffalo once last year.
They almost beat them twice last year.
I know. That's the crazy thing.
New England last year. They played last week of the season? They escaped.
I know. That's crazy to me.
Yeah. God, Kyle Duggar. That's who I was trying to think. It was like Kyle Duggar got Marcus Jones coming back. Sean Wade.
No. Oh, well.
Even the linebackers, sometimes they're going to cover a receiver or a tight end. It's like, wow, Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox might be your best two receivers now all of a sudden when they're tight ends. And Dawson Knox, by the way, had a down year last year. It's like,
cue the drink.
All I have to say, Alan Powder, is poor our friend over in Buffalo, Sexist.
No, because he was talking so much shit for the past couple of years. I don't want to hear that.
He had a window and it closed on him. It's like, he's a Red Sox man. They're bad. They're good right now. They're going to be bad. Give them 2 months. They'll stink it up. Let's see. He's a Cavs fan, which is weird.
Yeah.
He's got the Buffalo Bandits at least in lacrosse.
Oh yeah, Zach Jezero is really crying at he's crying with his lacrosse team winning a championship. So good for him. Anything else football related, Patriots related that you want to get in there, Maddie?
Oh, I got nothing this week. It's slow right now. It's like draft basically.
So, who do the Patriots take at number 3 overall? What do we say this week?
I'm refrain from answering this because it's like, it could change every goddamn day.
That's the point. That's the point of doing this.
Right now, based on what I'm seeing, it's probably going to be Drake May.
Yeah, I think Drake May is going to be the guy. And I think we're going to be singing It's Going to Be May come April 26th.
And then we're stuck with Mitch Trubisky 2.0 for at least 3 years.
Yep. Powder, do you have
any... Mediocrity! Yeah.
I got nothing.
Any suggestions, any picks?
No, I agree. I think it's going to end up being Drake May.
All right, so we're going to be on the It's Going to Be May trade. Not until May. There you go. Anything else at all you guys wanted to talk about before we headed out for the week? Nothing at all?
Nothing.
I got one question first, since we're on, we got some college basketball championships this weekend.
True.
We got the Final Four for the men's and women's, and we got the championship game before we record next. Who's winning the two? Who's going to be the championship game? You can do men's or women's. I don't know if you guys have been following each, and who's going to be champion for each? What do we think?
I think as chalk as this is going to be for the men's.
Oh, here we go.
It's going to be UConn and Purdue. As chalk as that is. And I think that UConn's going to win it all. I think they're just that good. They're just that talented over everybody. They're going to repeat. In the women's, I think it's going to be Iowa and South Carolina, and I think Caitlin Clark takes home a natty. I think Iowa's going to win it.
I agree wholeheartedly with Al. I think UConn's going to repeat, and then I just want Caitlin Clark to go out as a champion. Like, I just, the way she plays, her class, everything about her, she's awesome. I want her to end with a ring, especially after last year.
I'll be different. I'll go UConn and NC State, with UConn probably smoking them.
Oh, yeah.
Because I want to see NC State get to the final.
Yeah.
I did too, but I just think Purdue is going to be too much for them.
Side of it, Iowa, South Carolina, I think Caitlin Clark is, again, she's going to go out a champion and ride into the WNBA. I forget who has the first overall pick in the WNBA, but she'll ride into whatever team drafts her at the first overall pick. Right. I just want to give a shout out to women's sports. I'm so happy they're finally getting the recognition.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the interaction after the LSU Iowa game between Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark? They dapped each other
or whatever.
Yeah. Like, that was cool.
They're both going to be in the WNBA draft. They're both top 10 picks. They're both superstars in their own ways, their own rights. And I think both of them going to the WNBA is the best thing for that league now, because I think a lot of people are going to start paying attention more to the WNBA because of Caitlin Clark. Because now you're going to have players like Sabrina Ionescu. You got Caitlin Clark in there. You'll have Angel Reese. You'll have, you know, so many talented women in playing basketball. It's a fun time to be just a fan of the sport of basketball, regardless of gender.
Yeah.
And it's plus two, like, the women stay in school longer and they stay till they're like 21, 22. So these rivalries, like this quote unquote rivalry between LSU and Iowa, specifically Reese and Clark, like, that develops because they stay in school. Whereas the men, they're out after not even a year. So it's like, you don't know who's on what team anymore. You have to follow it really, really closely to know who's on what team. So, shout out to, obviously, Caitlin Clark for having the class that she did with Angel Reese in that, because obviously Angel Reese was like waving her finger last year, the championship finger, saying, I got a ring, you don't, you know, doing the you can't see me and stuff like that. Like, I know Caitlin Clark did it too, but Caitlin Clark could have literally like showed up Angel Reese, but she took the class away. So shout out to Caitlin Clark in Iowa. That's an incredible, incredible thing to do. And just, that should be a lesson, you know, mm-hmm. Do everything with class. So, good. Anything else? Matty?
Gentlemen.
All right. As always, make sure to rate and subscribe to the Legends Legal Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Anchor, everywhere else where you can get your podcasts. We will be back next week. Shout out to Student Union Sports, by the way, for being awesome as always. Make sure to follow them on all the social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and everywhere else. We'll be back next week. In a couple of weeks, we got something fun that we're going to announce, a little bit different toward the end of the month with the draft, and we'll announce it when the time gets closer. But for now, that's Tom Powder Cadmus. That's Matty Burnett. I'm your host, Alan Heehan. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week for episode 268.
Yes, sir.